Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
They decide to put that on the ballot. Why? This is about keeping, you know, make America, you know, this hat, make America white again. They want to make sure that people, certain people, are counted. It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. And it's not how we can decide who we are as a people.
Nancy Pelosi is just pitiful with her comment. What does this tell you? She doesn't think, apparently, there's any difference between citizenship and non-citizenship. That's really what this is about. There is no difference at all. Because when it comes down to it, they have to win this presidential election by any means necessary. And if it means devaluing citizenship and calling anyone who disagrees with you a racist, then they will do that. And right now, that's the strategy. Get African Americans so upset and so concerned about growing racism and Donald Trump's this and Donald Trump's that, that they vote against their own economic interest and vote for a Democrat. So that's the desperation on the left today. They see this economy roaring, especially for minorities. They see it. They know it. They're not all stupid. They see it. So what are they going to do? Try to argue the economic points? Well, they try, but it's pathetic. So instead, they try to peel off as many Democrat African-American voters as they can. They can't afford to have even 4 or 5% increase in African-American turnout for Trump this time. They can't. They can't afford it. They need to have every Black American voter and maybe non-American Hispanic voters turn out to vote for the Democrat. Yet what I think is going to come to the fore here is the cold, hard fact for the Democrats that cheap labor imported into the United States has been disastrous for people on the lower end of the economic spectrum or people who are getting into the job market for the first time, especially those without a college degree. And especially for teenagers, too, who the ones who used to do the kinds of jobs that now a lot of legal immigrants do. Listen to this article. According to the U.S. Census Bureau data, this is from Red State, it appears that Black Americans are the most harmed by immigration. In fact, the median income of non-citizens is more than $9,000 higher than Black Americans. Overall, Hispanics earn nearly $10,000 more than Black Americans. Claims that immigration enforcement equals racism ignore the reality that the group most likely to benefit from a tougher approach to immigration enforcement is young Black men, who often compete with recent immigrants for low-skilled jobs. This is from the LA Times last year. This dynamic played out recently at a large bakery in Chicago that supplies buns to McDonald's. Some 800 immigrant laborers, most of them from Mexico, lost their jobs last year after an audit by ICE. The Clover Hill Bakery, owned by Arzieta, a big Swiss food conglomerate, had to hire new workers, 80 to 90% of whom are African American. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the new workers are paid $14 per hour or $4 more than the illegal immigrant workers. Wow. While the fact that Blacks earn less than non-citizens or Hispanics should not be construed as anti-Hispanic in terms of economics, it does explain how immigration affects the law of supply and demand. Great point. Let's go to Jim in Ohio on this revulsion to the citizenship question on the census. Jim.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, welcome.
This is something that drives me crazy. I'm sure it does you too. The Democrats are always trying to find some way to negate Americans' votes by importing non-citizens and then counting them in the census. So if you have the citizenship question eliminated, then that just makes it so that the votes of us citizens.
Yeah, well, I think, again, they can't risk Trump winning again. They can't risk that. So if it means making it easier around the margins for non-citizens to vote, I think there are a lot of activists would be fine with that. I'd be totally fine with that. And they want to cancel out and then ultimately swamp the votes of people who showed up for Trump. Doesn't matter what color, just get black, white, Hispanic. If you voted for Trump, they need to cancel your vote out and then expand the Democrat base in order to swamp the current American conservative base. That's what their goal is. And I think they're really insecure about whether that's going to happen. And I think some are freaking out because they think Trump's going to win. I think they're freaking out. And the Obamas, remember, the Obamas are going to get involved big time. They already are. They admitted, Michelle admitted they were giving advice to candidates. And my theory on Fox News that I did a whole angle, a monologue on, was that the Obamas were behind, in one way or another, their team was behind that hit on Biden. Absolutely behind that hit on Biden. That didn't come from Kamala Harris. That was orchestrated and totally choreographed. So I imagine someone connected to the old Obama administration or Obama campaign. I'm not saying the Obamas themselves wrote it, but the Obamas saw what Hillary was all about. You know, she was not able to fight Trump. That frustrated them to no end when Hillary could not just put Trump down. He couldn't do it. So Kamala Harris, yesterday, the day before, says Trump's a predator. We have a predator in the White House. That's how much she's bringing up the rhetoric already. Let's go to Anita in Kentucky. Anita, welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome, honey.
I believe that the question should be on the census because everybody needs to be accounted for here in America and be here legally. And if you are living here, people that are living here in America and they are enjoying the benefits and the freedoms of living here, then why are they afraid of having a question on the census? I mean, if people, to me, these people that are going around and, you know, burning our flags or not singing the national anthem, and they're downing America. If they don't love America, they need to go live where people believe like they do. America alone. America was founded on godly principles and people that cared.
It's so so true that, you know, the old saying, love it or leave it. Yeah, that was the old knee-jerk response, love it or leave it. I think it might have been R.G. Bunker who said it. I'm not saying that should be the response to everything. It shouldn't be. But at some point, you have to say to people, why do you think millions of people want to come here for such a terrible, awful, rotten country? You think the country is so rotten. Why does everyone want to come here? Not everyone, but why do tens of millions of people around the world desperate to come here? I mean, we're a great country. And I think, you know what I was thinking about? The slogan for Trump should be, make America greater. It shouldn't be keep America great. That's almost too, we don't want to just stay where we are. We want to make it greater. I'd say make America greater should be the motto for the Trump campaign.
It's got a better ring to it than CAG.
No, MAG, make America greater. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham podcast. I'm delighted you're with us, as always. The latest Economist YouGov poll, by the way, found that 53% feel the census should ask the question, are you a citizen of the United States? Only 32% do not. I'd love to see the breakdown of the 32%, who it is, mostly Democrats. I mean, when they looked, there was another poll about this, and it was overwhelmingly, I thought there was another poll. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe the poll was about patriotism. That's what it was. It was, do you describe yourself as extremely patriotic? 76% of Republicans said yes. And only 22% of Democrats said they were extremely proud to be an American. How do you not say you're extremely proud to be an American? It's our country. But maybe non-citizens were asked that question. Who knows? You know, you don't know how accurate these polls are, but I hope that one's accurate. I want to thank all of our sponsors for this podcast, Genucel, Delta Animal Rescue, Pluto TV, and they're awesome. They're our great partners, among others, and they help provide this podcast free for you every week.
We've been considering all the options, and I've been in constant discussions with the president ever since the Supreme Court decision came down. And I think over the next day or two, you'll see what approach we're taking. And I think it does provide a pathway for getting the question on the census.
Well, we'll see. But we're now at a point in our society where our government doesn't have a right to know who is here legally and not legally in our census. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Delighted you're with us. Joining us now is White House Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley, who, of course, is following all of this and is going to give us the latest from the administration's point of view. Hogan, we kept hearing back and forth that the president was just going to let the court's decision stand and go forward with the census. The census is legally required. So where is the administration's position now? We read that Bill Barr is bringing in another legal team. I'm not sure what that means to make the census case.
Well, thanks for having me on, Laura. I do appreciate the time. Listen, it goes without saying that this president wants to know who's in this country legally and who's in this country illegally. The Supreme Court ruled that, in fact, the question of citizenship on the census is lawful. They just didn't like the way it was argued, apparently. So they kind of gave a roadmap of how to get that done. I can't get too far ahead of the process. Attorney General Barr made the point maybe this week we'll find some more information out. But the press is in a weird place because they're questioning the president and his desire to have that citizenship question on the census. But that's not really the question. The real issue is, why don't Democrats care who's in the country legally or illegally? Not one candidate has had to answer for this. Not one ranking Democrat has had to answer for this except to rip President Trump about his desire to know who's in the country. And we're at a weird place, as you know, in this country, in which an entire party is deciding to stand with people who are here illegally and unlawfully as opposed to all of the American citizens. And when you see the laws on the books now, which I'm sure we'll talk about further, it's like one set of laws exist, but they're only applicable to American citizens. If you're here illegally, then a court order doesn't apply to you. And now the Democrats are coming out and saying, we want to make all of this illegal behavior legal. So any American citizen who violates the law and then violates and ignores a court order is in big trouble. But if you're an illegal immigrant, it's fine. We'll just release you into the American communities, American neighborhoods, the school districts, and let you guys deal with it. It's insane where we are right now.
And I think they don't want the information to be known because I think the number of illegals is also so much higher than we were led to believe for years and years. Not that all of them would get all the right answers everywhere. I mean, you have to still answer the question, so it's unclear
right.
That why people would actually say, yes, I'm an illegal immigrant. But I think they're petrified of having the public really know just how many illegal immigrants are living in America. I think that's a killer fact for the establishment of both parties, frankly.
Right, and not only that, they don't want to do anything about it moving forward. So if the numbers are exorbitantly higher, And I don't disagree with your premise. If they are higher, though, the Democrats' plan is just to make the border open from here going forward. So we'll be millions and millions and millions more than we thought. Plus, we're going to encourage more people is what the Democrats want. And you don't have to look too much further than the whole situation with ICE. There are more than a million people in this country who have their final deportation removal orders issued, meaning more than a million people are here who've already had a court case, and that judge says, you don't have the right to be here, you need to go back. And there are more than a million people that fit into that category. Now, as you know, 90% of the people who claim asylum, for example, their case is kicked out. 90%+ don't show up to the court hearing, so this deportation ruling is often issued in absentia because no one's there to take it. But more than a million people just in that one little sliver of a category, you know, just that one little caveat, who've had their court case, it's time for them to leave, more than a million people, and they don't want those people removed either, even though they've committed a crime. And not the crime of crossing the border, although that is a crime. They've committed other crimes, whether it's visa overstays or assaults or rapes or whatever else it may be, ICE is supposed to move them. And what we have on the left is the Democrats basically tipping off communities to say, look out, ICE is coming. Could you imagine if they did that to the NYPD? If they had, like, if they got wind of a raid on a crack house and they called and said, hey, by the way, crack dealer, the NYPD is coming into your neighborhood to try and bust you guys. Be ready. Make sure your weapons are loaded so you can fight back. There'd be an uproar in this country. While they're allowed to do that with ICE, blows my mind.
No, it's completely outrageous. By the way, the argument from the Democrats, of course, is going to be that somehow this is anti-Hispanic. Dick Durbin saying this.
We now know why the real reason for putting the citizenship question on the census, to discourage Hispanic Americans from answering the questionnaire. Why would they be discouraged? For fear the Trump administration would use that information to investigate their families and possibly deport one of their relatives. If you have a reduction of 5-10% answering the questions, ultimately it means less money for our state, but it could mean fewer people to be counted for congressional districts.
Your reaction to that claim, that this is somehow the real motive is to discourage Hispanic Americans.
Right. If you're Hispanic American, you should never have a problem filling it out because you came into this country and you have legal citizenship. So that's absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, if you are a Hispanic American or an American, you should be, or, you know, naturally a natural born American citizen. Wouldn't you want to know if someone is here legally, and wouldn't you want them sent back to their country of origin? I mean, the backlog here of what's occurring is so big, and there are people across this globe, as you have documented, who deserve asylum, who deserve the chance to come into this country through our asylum laws because they face legitimate persecution. But so many coming into this country who claim credible fear, which, you know, is the situation in which you say you're fleeing persecution from your government, that claim has gone up 1,700%. It's not because governments have gotten exorbitantly worse across the globe or in the triangle countries or in Mexico. It's because that's the catchphrase, the buzzwords to get you into this country and bypass the court system, bypass the legal system. And so, again, it's one set of laws, but it's applied differently if you're here illegally and you're an American citizen, if you're a Hispanic American, as opposed to someone who's here illegally where they just turn the other way and allow you in with no ramification for your illegal behavior.
We're talking to Hogan Gidley at the White House. Hogan, Ken Cuccinelli made a point about legal immigration into the United States with Dana Perino yesterday. Let's listen.
How many of those people per year is America letting in right now?
Well, last year we were in the range of 850,000, and that was the most in 5 years. And this fiscal year we will pass that. So, you know, people who come after the president and this administration say, oh, you know, you don't like immigrants. Well, we're letting more people become citizens than has happened in years.
Hogan, his point is that 850,000 people is the most we've let in 5 years. Is that a concern for the United States that, you know, we're bringing in more even legal immigrants at a time where, you know, we're not even able to handle the illegal immigration, yet we're letting in more legal immigrants than previous administrations, it looks like?
Well, that's something we're absolutely looking at, and Mr. Cuccinelli is correct. I had the average around 1 million, actually, per year we let in this country, and we're the most generous country on the globe as it relates to allowing citizenship to people, you know, coming into our country as opposed to other nations across the world. But one of the things that the president's focused on is the numbers game that gets kind of, you know, vastly political in nature. He said, all right, fine, Democrats, you guys want more, Republicans want less. What if we just focus on merit-based? Let's try and make sure that the people who do come here have the best interest of this country at heart. They want to be Americans. They want to produce. They don't want to take from the government, but instead, you know, provide a broader tax base. They want to become citizens. They care about, you know, the greatest country on the planet. Let's do that. And what you're seeing are Democrats saying, we don't even want that. It's got to be open borders or bust. So while the numbers game is a legitimate conversation, don't get me wrong, we should have that. The president, again, in his wisdom, called the Democrats out, called their bluff, and said, fine, let's not even talk about numbers. Let's just talk about making sure the people who come here want to be here and can provide for their families. And Democrats don't want that either. So it's just shocking to where that party has moved to in this debate. And, you know, the president wants to protect the American people, and Democrats, to this point at least, have shown no desire to do that.
No. They're not going to work with the president. It doesn't look like they're going to move forward on, at least not at this moment, at the USMCA, the infrastructure. I mean, there are all sorts of things they could do working with the president to make America even greater and stronger. Yet they're just not going to do it. They just will not do it. They won't give credit where credit is due. They won't give even a bipartisan win to this president, because it's all about, in my mind, it's all about 2020. Hogan, before we let you go, there is some thought that the Democrats have turned from the party of JFK, which was extremely patriotic, love the symbols of our country, our patriotism, our love of our anthems and so forth, and now turned very negative toward the celebration of America's founding, rather than focusing on the good in America, focusing on the bad, the nastiness directed at the president's 4th of July celebration. Do you think Democrats, especially the more left-wing Democrats today, are as patriotic as their Democrat forebears?
Well, if they are, I guess they have a very weird way of showing it. You know, Barack Obama went on a global apology tour for the United States, and I can't tell how many people I've spoken with who said that, you know, they were really upset by that, and they appreciate someone like this president who recognizes America's greatness. And you saw that in the celebration of this country. I mean, listen, the Democrats' hatred for this president far outweighs their love for this country, I think, at this point, and their hatred manifests itself in many ways, and one of those ways is just flat-out lies. I mean, first they lied about this president as related to collusion. Then they lied about a cover-up. Then they lied about a crisis on the border. And then they lied about his motives to celebrate this country. They said it was going to be all political. They said the whole thing was going to be an homage to him, and tanks rolling down and missiles, despite the fact that JFK had that at his inaugural and other presidents as well. And none of that happened. He came out to celebrate the greatest idea ever realized, the United States of America. And he propped up our military, and every single American out there, he gave them praise and honor and just reminded them how wonderful this country is. And I still see no apology from the Democrats saying, well, you know what, we were wrong. We thought he was going to go off and go political, and he didn't. You don't see any of that. And far be it for them to ever admit that they're wrong. But the fact is, the president loves his country, and that's what he wanted to do with the salute to America. And you saw how outraged the Democrats were simply because it was Donald Trump leading the celebration.
No, it was such a beautiful event, the rain notwithstanding. Friends that were in the crowd, Hogan said that what was probably the most stunning thing that they noticed was how quiet the crowd was. They wanted to hear every word that was said about our military, our country, our traditions. It wasn't about President Trump. It was about the country. And they showed up for the country.
Right.
And that's what to a fault, everyone said the same thing. It was quiet. No one left early. People watched respectfully. And it was a beautiful thing. The numbers were huge, obviously. But it was I thought it was a beautiful moment for the country. And everyone should be celebrating America on July 4th.
I agree. 100%. And it was. I was there, and I watched every flyover, and he was so excited ahead of time because he did want to talk about how great this country is. And I think we lose sight of that so much as things overtly get political, especially on the left. You know, we used to have a common theme, at least. We disagreed politically, but the theme was we still live in the greatest country ever devised, ever created. And now it's almost as though that is even a tie that used to bind us together as a people. On the Democrat side, it doesn't bind us anymore because they just don't feel like America is that good. And while we've had our problems, we've had some dark days, don't get me wrong, but what's uniquely American is, I mean, all nations share dark days. What's unique to this country is we came out of those dark days, righted those wrongs, and came out stronger on the backside of that adversity. That's what should be celebrated. But you know, Democrats just don't want to do that, and I can't figure out why, but they'll have to answer for that sooner or later.
Yeah. Hogan Gidley, thanks for spending so much time with us from the White House, Deputy Press Secretary. We really appreciate it. We'll check back with you soon. Richard in Missouri wants to chime in on this discussion, citizenship and the value of citizenship, the intrinsic meaning of American citizenship today. And we're delighted he's with us. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Watching the argument going back with the courts and the citizenship question on the census, and as a business owner, I sit back and I'm puzzled because I use data every day in my business. And the more data I have to run my shop floor or have accurate information, the better I can do. And the government needs data on a variety of things, and they get that from the census. The irony to me is the government already estimates how many people we have here that are non-citizens. Why not make that count more accurate? What are they afraid of? And take it a step further, Laura, is back in 2005, the citizenship question moved to the American Community Survey, which is still asked every year, every other year. And it was asked in 2015 under the Barack Obama, Joe Biden administration. So the citizenship stuff is just a political ploy. The Democrats are worried about losing seats. At the end of the day, it's a nonpartisan question. You're either a citizen or you're not. Find out what the answer is. Get that information so we can run our government effectively.
Well, I think most Americans, and I think in both parties, if they were just asked this without reference to the current headlines, without reference to Trump, if the Democrats didn't make all these outrageous and outlandish allegations, I think most people would say, of course you can ask. I mean, of course you can ask if you're a citizen. I mean, what's the point of having any laws at all about citizenship if you can't find out who's here illegally and not? It's crazy. Do you wish that you could make your double chin just poof, go away? Oh, I'm sure you do. Americans have problems when they get older, maybe they gain a little bit of weight, with their chin area. It's just tough, especially, you know, as you get older. Gentlemen, ladies, it's the same deal. We all want to look our best. Well, Genucel Jawline Cream really is something you should consider trying. Just try it on your neck and your skin or on your jawline for 2 or 3 days. And I think you'll begin to see a real difference, as do so many who've already tried it. I usually in the late morning before I, you know, get into my daily routine for the television show, because I work out in the morning. So I don't want to put my cream on in the right when I wake up before I work out. So I usually midday. It's a fantastic product. And by the way, it has MDL technology in the proprietary base that Chamonix, who makes all the Genucel products, that they use. And the brand new Genucel jawline treatment, it targets that delicate skin around your neck and your jawline, and it helps make it look tighter, more healthy, more vibrant, and as a result, it looks younger. So see results right before your eyes, or guess what? You don't like the results, 100% money back, no questions asked. That's a great guarantee. It's a no-brainer. So order now. And the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness, that I do use twice a day, free with your order. And to start seeing results really fast, Genucel Immediate Effects is also yours free. So go to Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com, Genucel.com. Get your two free gifts and free express shipping by going to Genucel.com. And now I want to talk about something that I saw over the weekend and was so disturbed by that I thought it was important for us to unpack it together. Okay, you're not listening to like an old episode of Cops or something. This happened, this ongoing melee, it went on for over 4 minutes. This happened at Disneyland in California over the weekend. And I think it was Disneyland, not Disney World. Raymond Arroyo was with us, who has been part of the Disney experience for decades.
Oh, thank you. Well, as an honorary resident of Toontown, this happened in Disneyland. It's in the back part of the park. The amazing thing is, if you watch the video, Laura, the lag time of people getting involved in this scrum. I mean, these men are brutalizing these two women, grabs them by the hair, pops them across the face, glasses are flying. One's pushing a stroller. it does speak to sort of what we're willing to tolerate in public places. And apparently it's a lot.
The fact that there's a toddler who is screaming, I felt so bad for the little, maybe 2.5-year-old, 3-year-old, maybe, mm-hmm. who was screaming, obviously seeing relative of some sort get hit and crying and screaming. All I kept thinking about is this is a cycle of violence and abuse that turns kids into monsters. This is what turns them into violent, abusive adults. That's what happens. They see it, and then they think that's how to resolve a conflict. So this was a group. Was this some special theme day, Raymond?
No.
A family day?
There were families, as there often are at Disney World, at Disneyland, and they were just pushing through. The park didn't look crowded. You know, they opened that new Star Wars attraction, so that's been sucking away a lot of the crowds. So as you remember watching the video, there's like nobody on the street there. But it's amazing to me that these people feel free enough to just smack away, curse, hit in front of children and God and man. We have lost our sense of shame, public shame, where in another age, in another time, you would just never do this sort of thing. First of all, you'd be afraid that another guy would come up and pin you to the ground or smack you across the face, particularly if you were hitting a woman. And secondly, the very idea that you can just – this goes on and on and on. It's not a minute or two. It's 4 minutes of roughhousing. You know, this is like Fight Club stuff. Brutal.
It was so depressing on so many levels. Women hitting other women, hitting men. Men hitting women to the ground. A woman in a rascal scooter who obviously had trouble walking. She gets up, I guess, at one point to get the child and protect the child. And she falls down and she's hit in the process. She falls down. And I guess it's the main brutality purveyor's mother. So it's that big thug's mother who gets knocked to the ground, and he starts, oh, my God. And I kept thinking, where is – Disney has security everywhere, Raymond. Why did it take them that long?
Well, the Disney security, Laura, this is like the mall cop. I mean, it's not like they're going to – you know, they don't come in like a SWAT team from, you know, out of the Magic Kingdom.
Really?
That's
kind of crazy with that many people. You don't have security. I think from what I saw when we went there last, there was a massive security presence at Disney World.
There is a sizable number of people in uniforms, but they're kind of retirees, and you know, these are not formidable figures that are going to stop violence. I mean, they're just not. They're really there for more of the show than actual protection. It's a lot like a mall cop. They pick up the phone and call somebody, and then the local cops come in. That's kind of how it works. It's one of the sort of unsaid things at Disney. Now, they've condemned the violence, but
condemned the violence. Why weren't people arrested?
That
child should be taken away from that family dynamic as well.
What this is revealing is the heart of America and the way we operate. I mean, I tie it to – I don't know if you saw the story of the girl who goes into the Texas supermarket, pulls the Bluebell ice cream container out, licks it, videotapes it, and puts the container back into the freezer. This is a new kind of viral internet sensation we're seeing, where these teens go into a grocery or a convenience store, lick or half drink, defiling the contents of these things, and then returning them to the freezers.
I mean, it is pigs. I mean, this is a breakdown in at every level. And what have we talked about so many times, Raymond? If it's okay to dress like slobs as adults, and of course, I had to fly back from my break yesterday, and the people you see on the planes and how they're dressed, how they're attired, it's stunning. It is absolutely stunning, with no shame at all. Adult men wearing untucked, filthy T-shirts their baseball caps backwards. Looks like they haven't showered in at least a few days. Complete slobs. And they don't give a rip about what anyone else thinks or smells. They don't care. So if you can do that, then everything else comes from that kind of lack of care about how you're presented to others. So, of course, you can sweat. If you can dress like you just came out of your, basement gym or your, bathroom, then why should you behave like a normal human being at any other point?
Well, and there's, again, we've lost a sense of shame. And
no public
shame.
There's
no one to call you to account.
No.
Parents have decided to go off on their own and go in their own direction.
Parents are the problem. I saw that yesterday flying. Mm-hmm. Parents are the problem.
There's no discipline.
No.
So when you don't have discipline and you don't have a standard of dress, manners, when that falls apart, you do lose a culture. You do lose a people. And so beating the hell out of your family at Disneyland is perfectly acceptable. No, everybody just keeps walking. Got to go hit Roger Rabbit.
The fact that people didn't try to intervene, though, is, again, another sign that we have a litigious society.
Right.
You know, we have a society of people who are petrified of being sued, and I guess petrified of being stabbed or something, although you have to go through a metal detector.
Yeah.
At Disney. So, but people are afraid. People have been made to feel like defending a woman is going to get you put in jail.
Well, and Laura, a security guard at Disneyland who may or may not have a gun, chances
right.
are he doesn't, okay? He's thinking to himself,
I'm getting 15 bucks an hour. Why am I going to jump in?
Right. And then I'm going to get in the middle of this and somebody's going to charge me with a hate crime when it's over.
I'm going to spend all day at the police station. I'm going to lose my job.
Right.
I could lose an arm. Or leg, or I could get stabbed, or I could, everyone's afraid, and so it's like a complete melee out there. But I'm telling you, I go back to Rudy Giuliani's squeegee men theory. You know, it's the old broken mm-hmm. windows theory. If
right.
you allow buildings to sit vacant with broken windows and graffiti on the side, that sentiment bleeds into everything surrounding that building. That's why those buildings have to be either be rebuilt or torn down and reestablished as a safe place. Same thing with the squeegee men. Rudy Giuliani's like, you think, yeah, I'm cracking down the squeegee men? Because that's where lawlessness comes from. It comes from the ground up. You've got to
right.
knock it down at every point. Absolutely true. But we have people who are parents who are giving these poor children And look, I'm not. No one's perfect. We all, scream at our kids. We're all like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about physical violence and screaming the most hideous obscenities in public at people. I've never seen anything like this. But yeah,
they were throwing roundhouse punches at women.
Oh my
and
God.
You had, I mean, it was awful. And the women, let's not.
The women were part of the screaming
punches.
Too.
The women were involved as well.
Yeah.
They were involved as well. Punches. Some of them threw the first punches here. But there's no restraint. There's no social barrier that says, no, you're not going to do this now, or you can't exercise your anger in public this way, in front of children and on women and men. So it becomes a free-for-all. It was literally a brawl in the middle of Toontown.
By the way, I just saw this. This just broke late last night before midnight. A high school football coach from Texas, he got caught up. See, we can't tell from the video that we have, but he did come forward, and this was on Fox 14. Let's listen.
There's a small window that you have to be able to step in and do something. And, whether or not those two people were going to fight either way, it was still wrong for that guy to hit a girl.
His name is Jason Blair. So a football coach from Texas is
mm-hmm.
the guy.
I did
who,
see him. You can see him jump in at one point.
Yeah. So
he does jump in.
That was like 3 minutes in, though.
But Laura, this speaks to exactly what we were talking about a moment ago. We have become an observer culture. It only exists if we capture it on our phones, like the girl in the Bluebell, licking the Bluebell ice cream, or this thing. People are only looking to post to their fake world rather
right.
than engaging in the real one. That's a problem for America. That's a huge problem. You see it when you go to a gallery. You know, we were in France recently, and we've got some of the world's most amazing paintings before our eyes, masterpieces. And what are these people doing? They're snapping pictures of them and moving on to the next gallery. They're not even taking them in. They're not looking at the stroke. No. They're not observing the things you can only see up close. It's all about that snapping the pic and moving on. That is how all of America is becoming. We eat like that. We go to our school events like that. Everything has become drive-by, quick shot, get it done. I'm your pal. I'm your friend. I'm not your friend. This is ridiculous. We've become a fake people.
No, it's so depressing, I've got to say. But what does it mean for each of our lives? How do we change our lives in our own way to fight against this? Put down the phone and live life. Put down the phone and experience life. That's right. What you have to do. Now, this right. is – he also added this.
You know, it's not the way I was raised. It's not the way I coach my boys at Hanks. And I tell my girls it's not acceptable for a man to do that to you ever. That was a no-brainer. I didn't even think about it.
Now, Raymond, that's what we used to expect of everyone.
Right.
A lot of people were watching this play out. A lot of people were watching this, filming it, and doing not a darn thing. Now, this guy was a big guy, but when you have 10 men sitting around, standing around watching, you can bring down one guy with 10. Took a one guy to have the courage, again, doing what men traditionally did some decades ago, because they weren't afraid of being sued. They didn't think about being sued. You know what they thought about? This is doing the right thing. I'm being virtuous, courageous, true to the principles that I was raised with, to step in. And he did it. And then other people joined him. So it takes one person to make the right decision, then everybody else follows.
Right. An example is always powerful. A witness is always powerful. And sadly, we don't see it enough, but you understand why. People are litigious, they're nasty, and you can get hurt getting in the middle of something like that. So that's why people, I think, fail to get involved, but we can't be that way. We have to engage, or our society falls apart. It's the world our kids grow up in.
This is the New York Post piece that I'm reading from, by the way. You want to hear something really depressing? Speaking of depressing. Uh-huh. After they quote the thug saying, "I'm ready to go to jail tonight."
Right.
The man in the red hat. We link the video up on LauraIngram.com and our Facebook page, so you can watch it. He said, "I don't give a blank." Then this is the journalist, the quote journalist who wrote this New York Post piece. Him and the others involved in the melee all walked away without being arrested. Him and the others involved. I don't even have words. I don't have words for this. No grammar, no ability to write, no ability to do the right thing in the moment, or little ability because everyone's afraid. And then, by the way, Anaheim police haven't even made any arrests. So what's the message here? Do it, you'll make a viral moment and get away with it.
Right.
No arrests. They were just able to walk away. Disney did nothing. They walked away. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Caught on film.
They should have at least charged them for disturbing the peace of the park. All of them. All of them. If the family didn't want to charge each other, Disney should have charged them.
Well, it doesn't matter. The police should charge them for disrupting the child endangerment. That's child endangerment, with that little child in the middle of all of that.
I agree.
It all has to stop. I mean, it's so I think people are not inclined to get involved for a whole bunch of reasons. And I think you're right. We've beaten down men to such an extent that if you're being masculine and chivalrous is a bad thing.
Well, you're not respecting the woman's right to defend herself. She can take care of it. It's like opening the door. You know, I teach my boys, you open a door for a woman. I can't tell you the number of women who stopped them and said, "It's fine, I'll get it." You know, so it's the Rudy Giuliani theory. When those little things cease to matter and men stop doing them, they're not going to do the bigger things either.
All right,
they're
so
just
Raymond,
not.
No, you're 100% right. Raymond's in New Orleans, and over the weekend there was the Essence Festival, and all celebrities showed up. It was a big, big deal, Essence Magazine. and Michelle Obama showed up. And of course, that was the finale, right? Michelle shows up.
Oh, it was a big show. Big centerpiece of the weekend.
Huge, huge deal. And she said a lot of things that were of note. And this was one of the ones making headlines. Let's listen.
To sort of sit at that inauguration and to look around at a crowd that was not reflective of the country. It was just such the opposite of what, because during Barack's inauguration, we made sure that the crowd looked like all of America.
Yes.
You know, having the Tuskegee Airmen, having civil rights folks, having folks who had marched, and, you know, you could look out at his crowd and you would see America, all of it. And I had to sit in that audience, one of a handful of people of color, and then listen to that speech. And all that I had sort of held on to for 8 years, watching my husband get raked over the coals, feeling like we had to do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, no scandal, no,
yeah.
No, nothing.
Yes.
No, nothing,
no,
y'all.
No scandal, yes.
They had no scandals. Wow.
Wow.
That's something. No scandals.
Yeah, that'll be news to Benghazi, Solyndra, the bailout. There's a lot of that'll be news to all of those reporters who covered those stories.
Fast and Furious, the James Rosen Fox reporter surveillance.
Right.
Yeah, they had no scandals at
all. But can I ask a question?
Benghazi.
How does the president book the crowd that attends his inaugural for free on the mall? How do we make sure that that crowd is a quilt of America? Yeah, this is absurd. I mean, you can invite some people to sit up on the dais with you, but the crowd? This was all very suspicious.
But what it's about is what we've talked about before. This is about race. This is all about race because they have to win the Obama-level percentage of African-Americans this time. If they don't get African-Americans out to vote, Trump is going to get reelected, and I think perhaps even quite easily. But this is all about race and getting black people to think not only things not getting better for you in Trump's America, things are getting worse, which of course is contrary to everything that we know as far as black home ownership, black unemployment, black wages, all going up under Trump. And
Laura, last night there was a New York Times piece that dropped where Hispanic and African American women are winning the jobs race as the economy expands.
Right.
They're leading the way. They're more employed than other groups. So I don't know how this kind of inferiority complex argument is going to have a tough time being made in the days ahead. The facts simply don't bear it out. Black America is doing much better than it was a few years ago. Hispanic America is doing much better. And white America is doing,
but
all
Americans
are doing better.
But they can't concede that, right? They will not concede it. They cannot concede it.
I don't like the idea, and I speak as somebody who's half Hispanic. I don't like the idea of people carving us up based on our blood. That's not America. I mean, if July 4th should teach us one thing, it's that we share the same soul as Americans. We have to. And when you start dividing people up, I get it. It's a political contest. You got to get certain number of Southerners and certain number of African Americans, certain number of Hispanics and women. But you can play to those audiences without ruthlessly dividing Americans. And when you're lying to them and selling them a bill of goods that just doesn't add up, that's cruel. There's an element of cruelty in that, I think.
Oh, and by the way, Michelle didn't just talk about the lack of scandals in the administration. She also talked, well, this was kind of a sideswipe at Trump without mentioning his name.
What are the qualities that you think make a good president? You can say that.
Oh, well, I talked about this in the last campaign, but nobody listened, you know?
You know?
I was like,
it's like,
you know, it's a hard job, y'all. Let's just,
she's Southern.
Just be clear. This isn't a joke. It's not a game. The leader of the free world with a tweet can start a war, can,
when did that happen?
Can crush an economy, can
change
the future of our children.
What? What is she talking about? We haven't gotten any wars. Y'all. Why is she saying y'all, Raymond? I guess because
well,
she's in the
New
South.
Orleans, the Essence Festival.
So y'all? Okay.
She's getting down with the people.
What? But the thing about this, what I don't understand is, and look, she's a big celebrity, one of the top-selling books of all time, I'm sure, biographies, her book. But she says, I told you last time. It's kind of a snooty way of saying you should have listened to me. I told you last time. And with a tweet, you can start a war. Trump's not only not started a war, he's kept us out of wars. And he's made more progress toward peace and taking on the big threat, China, than her husband ever did. And the economy's booming. So what exactly is she talking about? This is a fantasy world.
It's all grievance all the time. My biggest problem with this is, look, if Michelle Obama has a political problem with the president, that's fine. Argue on policy. Talk about the things you don't like and how you'd make it better. But to kind of what it really is a critique and a disdain for the American people when you say you all should have listened to me. Had you listened to me, we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't have a great economy. If you listened to me, we wouldn't have a phenomenal economy. China wouldn't be back on its heels, and we'd have no renegotiated NAFTA. Other than that, would it be great?
And black, white, and Hispanic unemployment would not be at record lows. I mean, that's the reality of what happened. The economy has become a dynamo. And if they believe this is the path to electoral victory, they're in for a shocker. Because this is not going to work. And you can't wag a finger at the American people. I've never seen that done where it's been successful. Where you say, I know better than you. You didn't do it. And you should be ashamed of yourself based on nothing more than celebrity. This is just like the Hollywood types bad mouthing and shaking their finger and doing little plays where they're reading nasty things from the Mueller report. This doesn't work. Nobody cares. And I dare say 90% of that audience doesn't care either that Michelle Obama was talking to. You know why? Because they had a record year at Essence, because they've got money in their pockets to fly to New Orleans in the middle of the summer and spend a week in New Orleans in a nice hotel and go out to dinner and nightclubbing at night. That's why.
And by the way, if you didn't know, Barack Obama was the best president ever by any measure at any point in our history.
And as somebody who has watched, I think, one of the most productive and profound presidents of our lifetime, I've seen my husband operate up close.
Yes.
He reads everything. He knows more than everybody in the room because he has to. But I fear that sometimes people might have thought that Barack made it look easy, so it must be easy. It's kind of like, I guess if the black guy could do it, anybody can do it.
Racial.
And that's not true.
Mm. Oh, really? So he's the smartest guy ever? I mean, the smartest guy in the room? Should we remind everyone of this?
It is just wonderful to be back in Oregon. And over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
Navy Corpsman Christian Bashar. And in Creole, Corpsman Burchard responded, in Tanzini.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, if you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator.
Again, Raymond, she goes to the racial thing. You think that's why Trump ran? Because if Obama can get elected, anyone can get elected? Well, that makes no sense on any level unless you want to peddle racial grievance. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, look, here's as I look at this, and it's heartbreaking because America elected the first African-American president. They did that because they really believed he was going to bring change and they wanted change and they gave him a shot. After 8 years of that, it was the failures of that administration, not his giving a speech or the beauty of his family or the covers of Vogue. All of that was just grand. The problem is they didn't feel anything in their home, in their pocketbooks. So they were looking for a solution and they went with the wildcat. They went with the true maverick. a guy who had built businesses but had never been in politics. They wanted somebody to turn the apple cart over and make sure their voice was heard and something happened in their lives. And that's what occurred. And this is Michelle Obama trying to remake history here, where he was the smartest man in the room and it was all, you know, there's kind of a racial tinge around the edge. That's not true. Americans are colorblind at this point. We elected a black president. We have black people on the Supreme Court. We have black people serving in the highest offices of the land. What they want is competence, no matter the color of that person's skin. And that's where Barack Obama fell down and where they believed they needed an alternative. And so they went in the other direction. But you, again, why are you wagging a finger at the American people now, this late in the game? It's not going to win you votes. I don't think it will. But apparently, there are those who believe that you can sway a part of the electorate this way. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I don't see it at all. I think the whole thing is ridiculous. And I don't think that most people look at the world through a racial lens. I just don't see that. Raymond Arroyo, thank you for stopping by and chatting with us for a few moments. And we really appreciate your perspective on all these political and cultural issues here on the Laura Ingraham Podcast. I want to thank all of our sponsors, as always, including GenuCell, Delta Animal Rescue, and Pluto TV. They help provide this podcast to you free every week. Remember, always subscribe to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Tell your friends about it. And America now and forever. We'll see you next time on the Laura Ingraham Podcast.